Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. It's David Hall with Gabe Ramirez here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. 312-644-6767. Your texts and phone calls reacting to the big news of the day. Black Friday, and the Bears have fired Matt Eberflus, something they have never done in their long history. They have never fired a coach in season. But Matt Eberflus, after the final 36 seconds against the Detroit Lions in the loss, not calling a timeout, taking it home back to Hallis Hall where he met the media this morning inexplicably, unacceptably. The Bears put him out there, and then they fired him 90 minutes later. And we are here to talk to somebody who knows what that feels like and also has thoughts on the current situation. And Dave Wannstedt joins us on the Circus Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circus Sports app today. Good afternoon, Coach. How are you?
I'm doing okay. What's going on?
Well, hope you had a happy Thanksgiving, Dave. I know that it's a difficult reality for coaches, and Matt Eberflus got the news today. Just wondered, why do you think the Bears did something that historically they never have done, and you know why they have stayed away from it, but today was a different story. Why do you think it came to that?
Because I think too much talk about from the players. You know, the old saying, and I've said it on the shows that I do, you know, good coaches lose games, but you can't lose the locker room. And I think over the past couple of weeks, reading between the lines, hearing some of the comments from the players, I think that there was a lack of maybe confidence would be the word, some uncertainty. And I think that between Ryan Poles, George McCaskey, Kevin Warren, whoever, however they make the decision, I think that filtered right through the organization enough that brought on this decision.
Coach, when you're looking at, you know, the statement that you just made about the players themselves, it's one thing to say it to the media. Do you think the players went up to management when, like, Ryan Poles was having conversations with these guys? Like, that is the straw that breaks the camel's back in that situation?
Yeah, I don't think they went up intentionally, but I think that, you know, Ryan Poles, Kevin Warren, they're all in the locker room afterwards. And it doesn't take much, Dave, for Ryan Poles to walk up to a player after he loses a game like that one. They didn't really – he didn't give the players a chance to win it, really. And they say, oh, we feel bad. And the player says, well, we did everything that we could. You know, the players did everything that we could. So without saying it, you're saying it. And that was the way I read it, just seeing some of the quotes. And I'm sure that the one-on-one conversations probably were a little bit more direct than that.
We're talking with Dave Wannstedt here on The Score. David Hall, Gabe Ramirez until 2 o'clock. The Bears have fired Matt Eberflus. We're reacting to that unprecedented bit of news and that development. Dave, I look at this as progress because I do think that Matt Eberflus had struggled in late-game situations. His record in one-score games was 5-19, I believe, in the final ledger. And you look at how maybe he created the type of culture he was proud of, but on Sundays he just couldn't be the kind of coach that you could win with. How do you see where things got away from him, and why do you think he was unable to be that coach who made the right call at the right time on Sundays?
It bothered me, and I think one, you know, Sluice, when he took over the defense last year, the defense went from in the 20s to a top 10 defense. So let's start there. Well, the defense has not been dominant this year for whatever reason, but that was kind of the foundation of what Fluce, his expertise, and he was making it happen. This year, our defense is I don't want to say struggled, because we still got a very good defense, but we haven't been good enough for the last couple weeks, really all season, often enough, in my opinion, to go in and end the game on defense and close it out. Okay, put that aside. With me, now all of a sudden, it started bothering me going back to the Indy games when offensive play called, and I know that's not loose. You know, you run an option on the 7-yard line on fourth down. You know, against Washington, you give the ball to an offensive lineman on the goal line, maybe the most critical offensive call in the game, and he fumbles. I mean, to me, that's the head coach's responsibility. You know that, at least in my mind, that doesn't make sense. That doesn't give you the best chance to win. So you got to interject, even though you're calling the defenses, and say, hey, now we're not running that damn play. That doesn't make any sense. I want Roshan or whoever to carry the ball. That's the end of it. And then, you know, from there, it starts progressing to the end of the game where now he's under the spotlight because it's not the offensive coordinator, even though the head coach needs to be in control of every call, in my opinion. Not calling the plays, but you got to be in control of the flow of the game, offense, defense, and special teams. And some things have happened now at the end of the games where we get maybe a chance to help our kicker and get the ball a little closer on the other hash if we want it. All of a sudden, a special teams runs out onto the field. They think we're going to, kick, and then we go for it, and now we get the play in late. Well, that's all sideline stuff. As a head coach, you have to be in control of your sideline, your substitution. I don't care how many analytic guys we got, how good they are, or how many guys we got looking at 2 points or timeouts. The head coach makes the decision. And I think that got away from us. And you're the guy accountable, and it finally caught up with us this week.
Yeah, and you heard Keenan Allen say, hey, man, I the call comes in, and I just do my job. Talking about your point, Coach, that he on the sideline is the one that is in charge of that. And, you know, teams do evolve, right? From where the Bears were when Fluce got there to where they are now, certainly a different-looking team. Do you think that he had the right kind of leadership style for this locker room? Because, you know, when he first came in, he was asked to do one thing. Now the team's more talented. He's asked to do another. Or was there this disconnect between his approach and what the team actually needed?
No, I don't think, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of different ways to do it, okay? You know, and you got to be your own personality. You know, he's obviously such a good person, and I think I really like the guy. I mean, he's a good football coach. You know, I mean, it bothered me in the Washington game on the Hail Mary that after the game he doesn't stay to Stevenson. You know what? That not only did it hurt our football team, it embarrassed me. It embarrassed our players, it embarrassed our owner and his franchise and the city. And he will not be playing until he proves to all of us that he's all in. You know, I mean, you don't have to do that by screaming and busting the podium up or throwing, you know, Gatorade cables, you know, but you can be firm enough. And I think the players were insinuating that. When that play happened, I remember DJ Moore saying, hey, I got to step up. We got to handle this. And I'm thinking, you got to handle it. The head coach better be the guy handling it, you know? I mean, so, you know, maybe he could have, but there's a lot of guys done it with a lot of different personalities. I'll leave it at that.
Dave, before we let you go, and really appreciate your time on this Friday because of the breaking news, the Bears have fired Matt Eberflus. I said coming into the show, I really believe that if the Bears moving forward fail to consult with somebody who loves the organization, knows football, who has maybe a former player, maybe a former coach, maybe it's Olin Kreutz, maybe it's Tom Thayer, maybe it's you. If you were to be asked what direction they need to go now, what kind of coach do you want to lead the Bears into the next phase of winning? Because it's time to start winning again. How would you answer that question?
Well, I think the foundation, I mean, is set on defense. I mean, we know where the needs are and where the needs aren't. Offensively, I'm going to come back to this. Even when we made the change to Thomas Brown, you know, I loved it early. We were running the ball with balance. You got to be balanced. Guys, the running game with running backs is a way to go. Look around the NFL. Look at your best teams in the NFL. Offensive line, running game is your foundation, right? Look at Philly. Look at Detroit. Look at Buffalo right now. I mean, just go through. Kansas City's going to start winning, and their offense is going to get better, and so is Patrick Mahomes, you know.
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Why? because Pacheco and them are coming back, and they're going to make a commitment to be more balanced with their offense. So I think I would say, hey, we need to have a guy that, hey, it's got to be a quarterback guy because we got to keep Caleb going. He's going to be the difference. But we need to have somebody that understands the importance of running the ball and offensive line play and being balanced. That's the ticket, in my opinion, to winning a Super Bowl. I've lived it. I've done it. I was too extreme one way, but, you know, that was a lot of years ago. I understand what teams need to do, and we really have shortchanged our offensive line. That would be a priority for me.
Dave, that's terrific insight. You can hear Dave Wannstedt on The Score every Tuesday morning, every Thursday afternoon. You can see him on the Marquee Sports Network. You can find him on NBC5. He's everywhere because of insight like that. Have a great weekend, Dave. Thanks for your time.
All right, guys. Good talking to you. See ya.
Dave Wannstedt, strong stuff. I think he looks at it from a game plan perspective, wants a head coach that's going to lean into some of the more traditional concepts, run the football, play strong defense, not make mistakes. I think the leadership piece of this, Gabe, is what I'm most intrigued by, how much it's valued because of how much it's been lacking. I think when you look at Matt Eberflus, it was hard to fire him last year because why? He saved his job by being an excellent defensive coordinator. As a head coach, he was a very good defensive coordinator. But as a defensive coordinator, he was a lousy head coach. And so that's the way that you look at his tenure being defined. Next, I want somebody right now. You know, everyone's a little worked up. Everyone's
got some names? You got names for us? You got a short list?
But let me generally, the criteria is, I think I want somebody who is a leader, who can define leadership without having to define leadership. You don't tell me exactly what it says in your football glossary because you don't have to. You can show me by how you act and how you behave and how you talk. Dan Campbell style. Now, you don't need him necessarily. You can't get him. But somebody
that
like
level of
him,
respect, that level of command, that level of leadership.
The power of positivity. The power of making people believe they can do something that maybe they can't do themselves. Yeah, that matters in a coach. Also, crisis management. That matters from a coach. Matt Eberflus, every time there was a crisis, he either evaded it or looked like it was going to swallow him whole. It wasn't something that he was good at. And, you know, he wasn't ready for this job.
No.
And that's not on him as much as it is the Bears. Know who you're hiring and what they're capable of doing. Matt Eberflus was the wrong guy for the Chicago Bears in the Chicago market. So get somebody who is not going to wither under pressure. Get somebody who is not going to be weak when you need to be strong. Show me a leader. And then I think you start there.
It sounded like Coach Wannstedt wanted a veteran coach, but that was familiar with the offensive side of the ball.
Yes.
That seems to be difficult to find in today's NFL because most people are looking for the new offensive-minded thing.
Yeah, the trendy-looking offensive innovator who has some sort of proximity to Sean McVay.
So does Cliff Kingsbury fall into that Dave Wannstedt list?
Okay, maybe.
That is offensive-minded and has a...
You want my short list? I do have a list.
Okay.
I wasn't evading you. I was trying to...
Sound like you didn't want to throw names out there.
I'm fine with throwing names out there. Okay. We do talk radio, okay? If we don't throw names, we're not doing our job. I wanted to make it clear what I was looking for, generally speaking. Dave did a nice job. He's a lifer. He's a football lifer. But I do think that at this point in time, the Bears need leadership. They need strength from that position. They need innovation. They need points. They need touchdowns. But I think that my short list would start with Mike Vrabel, whose tenure in Tennessee, you look at the numbers and you can explain, and I know people who spent a lot of time down there would say he had this and he had that.
He overperformed.
Every coach is going to have shortcomings and every coach is going to have fans. I want to know what Mike Vrabel would bring to the Bears. I want to study him harder. I want to hear a little bit more about him, but he would be the guy that would be at the top of my list. Joe Brady, offensive coordinator for the Bills. He's one of those whiz kid type of young play callers, never been head coach before. That concerns me. Because I want to cover in the interview process people who represent both.
So that's not
styles.
A black line issue for you, like a black line thing. No head coaching experience. You're not automatically putting a black line through.
No, because I think that I don't want to be that rigid. I think you've got to go into this with an open mind. That doesn't mean they're going to hire another person without experience, but I do think, and you might.
That won't go over well in Chicago.
It might not, but when you interview somebody, sometimes you interview people that you know or may, you might not hire, but you want to learn from them. It's a fact-finding mission. You've got to find out what Joe Brady might know that you don't. Ben Johnson falls in the same category. Now, Ben Johnson's a guy who has the best offense in the NFL right now. He tried to throw a pass with a tackle. Let me tell you, that if I'm a Bears fan, I was ticked off.
Olin Cruz was going nuts on that play.
I don't think that I want somebody who's going to try to embarrass the opponent to the extent that that play tried to do, but Ben Johnson is innovative. He's having the time of his life. He also, there's a rumor that he doesn't want to work in Chicago because of the dysfunction here, and I would understand and respect that, but you haven't been a head coach before. Please, are you going to name your conditions? Maybe, but that's a little much for me. Anyway, Ben Johnson would be on my list. Aaron Glenn would be on my list from the Lions. Same reason. He's a defensive coordinator. He's a guy that is very good in front of the room based on what people say. Cliff Kingsbury would be on the list.
This has gone from a short list to a healthy list.
No, there's six names.
Okay.
Short list is six names,
okay.
Gabe.
Okay.
You've hired people before. You're worldly.
I don't want to do that many interviews. That's why I'm saying.
You don't want to miss out on somebody. All right, I got six though.
This is good.
I think Cliff Kingsbury is on there. And then the sixth name is a wild card name. And it definitely fits the definition of retread. And I don't like retreads necessarily, but I don't want to be a hypocrite either. You want somebody who's passionate about coaching the Chicago Bears. You want somebody who wants to be here as badly as you want him to win. You want somebody who's going to get up there after a game that they lose to the Packers and sound like they're as pissed off as you feel. Ron Rivera would be that guy.
Ding.
Ron Rivera would be that guy. I'm just saying, it's never meshed with his availability and their interest level and this and that. You know what? He's available. He went to Cal Stanford a couple weeks ago. Nice little Instagram post. I love Chico. He's on the NFL Network. He does a great job. I hear him in the Westwood One booth. He's terrific. Everything he does well. He also can tell you how passionate it is to be a Bears fan or to represent the Bears. He loved being a Bear. He loved being the defensive coordinator of the last team that played in the Super Bowl. He knows the old 85 Bears feel. He knows what Lovie Smith accomplished here. Those are the two eras you want to copy. He would know how to copy them. He'd be on my list. I'd talk to him.
Definitely would like to have a conversation with him. I love the list that you put together. Certainly some names that Bears more than likely will be having conversations with.
Mm-hmm.
I think the passion for the team is important, whether it be from an alumnus or from someone that's just on the outside looking in that wants this organization to have success, kind of like a Kevin Warren. You're familiar with the team, familiar with the city, and you want to put them on their shoulders, the shoulders that they should be on. It's going to be interesting, and it's going to be one that we're going to be following closely here on the screen.
And we'll talk about a guy with six Super Bowl rings who may or may not be in the mix if they decide to go that direction. Bill Belichick talked next. Gabe Ramirez, David Haw. Talking Bears, they fired Matt Eberflus. We'll talk about it next. 312-644-6767. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Well, after the way that one ended in Detroit yesterday, Chris, the coaches certainly knew it was a possibility. My understanding is the scene in the locker room when it was just the coaches and players in there was pretty ugly, but on Friday morning with the players off, the coaches showed up as they normally would, went through their normal day after game routine, went through meetings, knowing that they'd be cut loose for the weekend at noon Central Time. Then at 11 a.m., Matt Eberflus called a meeting. It was brief. He told the coaches that he had been let go, that Thomas Brown would take over as interim coach. 20 minutes after that, Brown and GM Ryan Poles came in to address the coaches. And one thing that's sort of interesting here, the guy who wasn't in there is team president Kevin Warren. This will be his first big football hire. They want to give Thomas Brown a shot. One of the coaches who's on the staff told me he's been a stud through all the transition over the last month. Remember, Brown was a member of the fired Panther staff at the end of last year. He's gone from passing game coordinator in Chicago to offensive coordinator to now interim coach in less than a month's time.
Welcome back. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. David Hogg, Gabe Ramirez until 2 o'clock. Lawrence Holmes coming in next. He's already here. He's fired up. He's ready to talk about this because the Bears have fired Matt Eberflus. Your reaction, 312-644-6767. That was Albert Breer on the Amazon Prime broadcast, I believe, covering the NFL. Prime Video, and that show covers all things NFL. And Albert Breer describing the way it went down this morning at Hallis Hall is crazy to me, Gabe, because it smacks of unprofessionalism, of being unprepared, and things that you should not allow to happen on the day that you fire your football coach.
This conversation should have happened last night after they broke the wishbone at Thanksgiving dinner and made a wish, and they should have came with that decision so that first thing in the morning they could have told Coach Eberflus, hey, this is what's going to happen.
Ridiculous.
You don't let them go do the Zoom conference with all the media members. You tell them what's going to happen, and then as an organization, Kevin Warren, Ryan Poles, Coach Flus, you guys walk in as the leadership council into this team and coaching staff and say what's happening.
You can't let that happen that way. You can't let it go down that way. You can't let him face the media 90 minutes before you're going to fire him. And if you decided in that 90 minutes, shame on you. And if you let him go on and when you already knew, shame on you double. That's to me, yes, it's a minor detail in a major story, but it's one that just shows you and underscores how bad the Bears are at managing perception and handling crises. They're terrible at it. They're last in the league in handling these kinds of things. And this morning we were reminded why. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Scott is in Arlington Heights. Scott, welcome to the program.
Hey, guys. David, I think you said it perfectly in the last segment that Eberflus was a great defensive coordinator but a bad head coach. And the Bears realized that last year. They also made a point, Poles made a point, to put Justin Fields in a place where he said he's got a good landing area. He should have done the same thing with Ryan Poles, or he should have done the same thing with Eberflus last year and cut bait. We're all professionals here. This is professional football. He should have realized that Eberflus was not the coach. They should have brought in the abundance of talent, or at least considered the talent that was out there, and brought in somebody who is qualified to bring in this new quarterback and move this team forward and treat Eberflus like the professional he is, and let Eberflus go out with some sort of class. They brought him back now, allowed him to fail, and then not even give him the common courtesy to cut him at the game. They let him stand in front of the media and answer to essentially why are you still here?
Which was the wrong decision to begin with in the first place. But I often tend to think about, David, what do you think the connection between the two of them was? And but the two of them, I'm talking about Ryan Poles and Coach Eberflus. I thought they were joined at the hip trying to right this ship over the course of 4 years, and they had this plan together. How closely did you think the two of them were married, if at all?
Well, I think it was real. I think they learned to rely on one another, and I think that it became more of a bond that you noticed after Matt Eberflus survived 2023. He went 7-10, and he got a lot of credit for turning the defense around in the second half of the season when Montez Sweat arrived. But Ryan Poles doubled down on Matt Eberflus when he passed up the chance to hire somebody who was more qualified and available. So I think what you're describing in this alignment and the philosophically joined at the hip was a real thing until it became untenable for Ryan Poles. And I think maybe he realized, rightly, that he couldn't continue on his job without firing Matt Eberflus and making him no longer able to do his job. So it's survival of the fittest in the NFL, in every profession. And I think that Matt Eberflus had to go. Ryan Poles realized it maybe reluctantly, maybe 2 weeks too late, as you point out, because of the Shane Waldron stuff. But I do think that even though Kevin Warren wasn't in the room, as Albert Breer described, Kevin Warren's presence and input and impact is felt in this move.
I think we are all getting text messages right from around the country, from friends, family, asking us what is going on with your respective team. And I think it's no different when it comes to Kevin Warren. His phone is blowing up as well from NFL pundits saying, what is going on over there? What are you doing? Personal conversations. And so he feels that pressure. And so I'm certain a guy who was not involved with that process had a lot to say about the current coach and who should be the future coach of the Chicago Bears.
No doubt about it. Back to the phone lines. Leo has been waiting patiently in Hoffman Estates. Leo, thank you for waiting.
Hey, guys. Nice to speak with you. I just want to say, even when the Bears do something right, they just manage to do it wrong. And I don't think anyone should be surprised by it, to have them go talk this morning. And going back to what we're talking about with Kevin Warren, when we think about George McCaskey is just the biggest lame duck owner in the NFL. And for him to walk around tailgates and for him to go sit in the 400 level of Chiefs game with binoculars, who is this guy trying to prove to the fans that, like, he's some normal guy that wants us to win? Like, he has no idea what's going on. And now we're going to this new head coaching process and people are bringing up defensive coordinators. And I don't understand where the defensive coordinator stuff is coming from. And the one guy that you guys are bringing up that they should have talked to, the guy was right there, Jim Harbaugh, and we don't even call him. So it's just organizational dysfunction from top to bottom. And for anyone to think we're going to get it right, I hope we do. I'm 26 years old, and all we do is lose my entire life. I'm so
Leo, you're young.
You got a lot more time to catch up, buddy.
Thanks for the phone call, Leo. You're young. You're just getting started, man.
You don't have enough war wounds to talk to us yet.
Do some research and Google Dave McGinnis, okay? See what happened to that guy. All right. The Bears have a long and sordid history of botching head coaching hires. This is the time it's going to be different, right, Gabe? Right?
Of course it
right?
is.
Yeah,
we'll Bears see. By six against the Niners on
Mike
Sunday.
Mike is on the score. Welcome, Mike. Thanks for waiting.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to throw a name out there. You already mentioned it. Ron Rivera. Just someone who's actually head coach in the NFL. We pay too little for the rookie, you know, coaches, and it bites us in the butt every time. So I was wondering what you guys think, though, of the Miami Dolphins offensive coordinator, Frank Smith.
I don't know enough about Frank Smith. Frank Smith doesn't jump off of the page to me. I think Frank Smith, do you give him credit for Mike McDaniel's offense? And by the way, they lost in Lambeau. They're not exactly doing great right now.
And you saw how bad that offense looked when Tua went down. Mike, they were unable to put together anything.
Frank Smith's not the name I was thinking of. It's not the tip of my tongue or the back of my head. Neither. No, I don't think Frank Smith makes sense to me.
But you did point out a key characteristic of the next head coach in leadership. And I think that's very important, because with that quality, you are not looking at who can develop Caleb Williams. You are not looking at who can lead, or excuse me, who can, you know, run a defense. You're looking at who can lead the team. And to all of us, we feel like that is important, because just like Ryan Poles, when he made the decision to let go of Coach Flus, he understands that this team is further along than even he thought. He thinks this team has the talent to compete now. And because Flus was unable to put together victories, that's why he had to go.
Ryan from Oak Forest. Ryan, welcome to the score. How are you?
Hey, so before I start, did you know that if you go on eBay right now, there are auctions going on for Matt Eberflus's unused timeouts?
Very funny.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I was actually expecting to chat with you last midnight, like on Sundays. I had a whole thing written up, but it's fortunately cut in half because the Bears actually did what I thought would never happen. Fire head coach midseason. I'm sure they're thinking, how will we financially recover from this? And I can actually break down how Thomas Brown had a few hiccups, namely at the end, but I'm still confident in him. Like, the second to last play, it was QB draw for some reason. Borum misses the snap count and lets his man blow by him. Then from what I heard post-game, the last play was going to be another QB draw, and Caleb had to veto it like a savvy vet. No timeout called, and he has to chuck it to Rome on a seam fly. It could have been DPI, but now is not the time for the refs to gift us a win, because otherwise we don't get this Black Friday deal. I mean, I got the news this morning, and it felt like Christmas.
Thanks, Ryan. Appreciate the phone call. A lot of stuff there, Gabe.
It wasn't next day delivery. It was next hour delivery for him in that.
I mentioned this before. Let's have a quick moment before we get back to the phone calls. Bill Belichick is going to be out there. Bill Belichick has been rumored to be linked to the Jacksonville Jaguars. He's 72 years old, I believe. I understand he's got 6 Super Bowl rings and considered one of the best coaches of all time.
He would have called the timeout.
No doubt about it. And he knows what to do with a franchise quarterback. No question about it. I do wonder if he respects the Bears enough as an organization or a franchise to even be part of the mix. And the other thing is, if you do interview Bill Belichick, you are basically telling him he's got the job if he wants it. Are you willing to do that? Do you think the Bears will do that?
It's a great question. I think we as Bears fans want the pinnacle of a particular position or coaching vacancy. And what we got that in Caleb Williams. We feel like he can be that guy. And it would be so cool from a Bears fan's perspective to have someone like that coaching this team, someone that you know is capable. It is no longer, you know, can this guy figure out? Does he have the experience? It's like, no, checked all the boxes. He's there. But why does the narrative exist, David, that Ryan Poles and maybe the Bears as an organization, they do not want alpha type coaches in their building?
Because they never hired one since Mike Ditka. Since Mike Ditka left town, they've not hired an alpha coach. They've not hired somebody with a strong personality. Lovie Smith was understated. Proud, strong, but understated. Lovie Smith was a very good head coach for the Bears. He led them to the Super Bowl. You have a lot of respect. His tenure has aged quite well. They then hired somebody who was the oddest to hire in NFL coaching history, maybe, in Mark Trestman. You know, John Fox was here. He, you know, took his golden parachute into town and landed in Lake Forest. Matt Nagy was affable, but he wasn't an alpha. And then, okay, the next guy, Matt Eberflus. Well, we've seen what Matt Eberflus became. 14-32 only begins to tell that part of the story. The Bears resist hiring somebody that makes them uncomfortable.
But why?
Because they don't like to feel threatened, or they don't like to feel uncomfortable. Whatever it is, I don't know. It's a very quirky, idiosyncratic trait of the McCaskey family. It is their family. It is their team. They hire people like them. They aren't going to, you know, be the ones who cause a stir, that gets ticked off, that, you know, brings attention to himself, that is the loudest person in the room, that has that kind of passion.
I think the Bears, in trying to rid themselves of being a gimmick, they have become one. I think when you're talking about bringing in an alpha head coach, right, they say to themselves, we don't want to be the rah-rah team that's going over the top, that's doing too much. We're the Bears. We have a certain vision for our team. That's why we curate what you see on Hard Knocks. That's why we put these measures in place. But if you want to win, that's the kind of person you need to bring in, especially at this point. The stars have aligned for that type of coach to be there.
You can't feel threatened by the person you hire. And I think too often the Bears talk themselves out of those kinds of moves. The great example is Bruce Arians and Mark Trestman. You know, they chose Mark Trestman over Bruce Arians because Bruce Arians obviously went on to be the coach that he was in Tampa. His personality was not conducive with the people at Halas Hall making the decisions. Same was true, and part of the explanation for why they stayed away from Jim Harbaugh. That is, to me, the most egregious thing. I know I got to get over it, and I will eventually. But this only brings up those bad vibes from last January when he was not only available but coming off a national championship, and there's no way that they were going to hire him because he was too strong of a personality to manage, and they want to be able to manage people, and they have made one bad decision after another as a result. All right, we got one segment left. We got your phone calls. You got a lot of people on hold. We will continue to get to Gabe Ramirez, David Haw, here until 2 o'clock. Lawrence Holmes is in the building, and he will be here to take you through the afternoon because he's got a lot of Bears thoughts on the firing of Matt Eberflus. The Bears make history today. Black Friday for Matt Eberflus and the Bears head coach. We'll come back and wrap things up. 312-644-6767, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
At what point did you realize that we're only going to have one shot?
Yeah, when everybody got lined up, and then whenever I made my adjustment at whatever at whatever point the clock was at, is when I realized that we were only going to have one play. And so, like I said, made the adjustment and let my guy Rome be one on one and try to get him a shot.
Welcome back, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. David Haw, Gabe Ramirez. Talking about Matt Eberflus being fired. Lawrence Holmes coming up at 2 o'clock. Your calls and texts, 312-644-6767. That was Caleb Williams explaining his role in the final 36 seconds. And let's be clear here. I know the story has moved on now. And the fact that Matt Eberflus did not call a timeout, as he should have. He's a head coach. Step in after the sack. It's easy to call a timeout. Do it. Regroup later. But he didn't. Cost him his job, as it turns out. I really believe if they go into overtime, he might still be employed. He might
for a couple extra weeks.
Yeah, for a few. He cost himself maybe five games, but he deserved it. As a coach, you should have fired him. Shouldn't have sent him out there this morning. You should have fired him. Caleb Williams also could have called timeout. I want my quarterback to feel like he has the autonomy, and if he is actually the de facto CEO, I want him to be able to call timeout and recognize what's going on here. Oh my gosh, everything's unraveling. Oh my gosh, I'm not going to change the play. I'm going to call timeout. I want my quarterback to do that, Gabe.
I want him to do that next year and the years to come.
That's giving him a pass. That's okay.
Yeah, I think that I'm trying to think if it were me, and if I had just called a timeout earlier by myself, by the way, which he did, you're asking him to call a timeout himself. He did look up at the ref and say, all right, I'm calling a timeout. And I'm sure in that mind, he's probably like, well, damn, Flus didn't call a timeout there. I had to call it, and I don't want to undermine him again. So I'm sure that was there in the back of his mind. Changing the play, doing all that stuff, again, I think it just still, no matter what you want to say, you cannot say your rookie quarterback needs to be the one in charge of the clock at the end of the game.
I still think if he's the quarterback as good as you say he is, and we have seen, he can still do that. You can walk and chew bubblegum at the same time, Gabe.
He's good.
Call timeout.
He's good.
All right.
But he doesn't have NFL experience.
Jim from Beecher, welcome to the Score. How are you?
I'm doing well, guys. Thank you for the use of the pulpit right now. Matt Eberflus got fired for incompetence, obviously. Then this morning, and it comes right out of, you guys are right there, you're closer than I am, how you basically have said the bare brass, Warren and Poles butchered what they did this morning, eventually firing Eberflus. These are the two guys with this competence that we just saw for the last 3 hours. They're going to be involved along with McCaskey in this 10-year reign of error in picking out a new head coach. Guys, you know what? I think the only way I can describe this is Eberflus 2.0 coming in 2025 to a favorite football team near you.
Thanks, Jim. Good phone call. Reign of error. I like that. That's good. I might steal that, Jim. Let's go out to AY in Lake in the Hills. Hey, AY.
How you guys doing? Thanks for taking this call.
Mm-hmm.
First, just two things. Number one, I really don't have empathy as to what happened this morning with Eberflus. Like I was saying, the guy came up with some of the most creative ways to lose a game, almost killed some of us. So I don't have any empathy with respect to how it was handled. He's off, hopefully off to the sunset. Second thing I would like to mention is that if we had a head coach like him who made a weak decision as to who he was going to bring in as an OC to handle, hopefully, the next Mahomes, I mean, Cliff Kingsbury was right there. But they say he was intimidated by it. That tells us everything that we know. He was making a decision to protect himself. He wasn't making decisions to help the Bears win. Otherwise, Kingsbury would be here. He's supposedly a QB whisperer. He's supposed to be this great offensive coordinator. He's the guy. And yet, Flus was too intimidated by him.
Interesting.
So he's not. He didn't hire him.
Good thoughts, AY. You don't want to hire your replacement. Maybe that factored into the equation. Thanks for all your phone calls. Gabe, final thoughts as we get ready to make way for Lawrence Holmes.
I think it's an exciting time for the Chicago Bears. I think we all feel good about the team and the direction they're headed in. And now they just need someone at the helm to take them to the promised land. And for me, the promised land is the playoffs. And I'm looking forward to that in years to come.
You were in charge when the news broke. You had breaking news. You were planning to talk about what should happen and maybe what you wanted to happen. How will you remember being at the mic when the news broke?
CBS2 was in here grabbing footage for our hit later on today. So there's a lot of things going on. But you know what, David? I think you and I both love this aspect of radio, the fact that it is live, the fact that we are able to connect with listeners when they get into their car looking for some information. So it was cool to be a part of that.
AY had a good point. I don't think you need to have empathy for Matt Eberflus for losing his job, but I do think there's a right way to do things. And I think that as a Chicago Bears NFL operation, you want to always be professional. Professionalism is something that is underrated and not seen often enough. And this morning it was lacking. You owed Matt Eberflus the courtesy of not sending him out there to speak about a job that he was going to lose in 90 minutes. That is, to me, shameful on their behalf. That's why it matters. Professionalism matters. And the rest of the league is watching. They know what you're like. They know who you are, and you showed it this morning. I think this was unprecedented, but what Matt Eberflus did yesterday was unacceptable. He had to go. He's now the ex-coach of the Bears. 14-32 record in three seasons, and he's got two more years. He's going to get paid, Gabe, so I don't feel too bad about that.
Hey, one more thing. You asked me for my final thoughts. Tomorrow, I'm going to be on the radio with Mark Grody at Rally House.
Oh, yes, you are. Okay, Rally House, 8 to 11?
Yeah.
In Wrigleyville.
Be there right before the Illinois-Northwestern game. We're going to be talking Bears, talking Flus.
And you're going to have a $25 gift card to give away? All right, Rally House, Wrigleyville, must-stop location for all your Illinois and Northwestern gear before the game. Do you have any Illinois or Northwestern gear?
Zero. Unless it's a D. Brown jersey from back in the day.
Rocking that 2005 jersey.
Yeah.
It still fits, right? It still fits,
Gabe. On my arm.
All right, Lawrence Holmes is next. Keep it right here at Chicago Sports Radio 670 Score, 312-644-6767. Light them up for Lawrence. Thanks for listening. For Gabe Ramirez, I'm David Haw. We'll talk to you on Monday. Chicago Bears fired Matt Eberflus. Talk about it here at 670 The Score.